Beloved, who are members and friends of this church, in the week that just passed, you received your stewardship letter. It's stewardship season. The season when we ask those in the church to pledge what they will give in the year to come so that we will have resources to plan for today and for our future, that we might establish the work of the kingdom in this place. Now, the definition of stewardship is to care for something or someone in the days that are now for the days to come. To care for something or someone now for the days that are to come. Stewardship is a sacred trust. But this time of year, in churches all over the nation, we talk about the stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. And yes, it's important. We want to pay our lights and our staff. But the stewardship of time, talent, and treasure is the smallest part of what we steward. You and I are the stewards of many things. And over the course of this month of October, we're going to talk about some of the other things we steward, because they too are a sacred trust. They too have been given to us now to care for someone or some moment in the future. So I want us to think about what we hold, what we steward, that God has given us that sacred. So this morning, you've already gotten a clue. I want to talk about being stewards of songs. They're songs that fill your life. I wish Lindsay Camp were here, because all you have to do is say a word and Lindsay can sing a song. That's partially because she's Betty's daughter. But it's always wonderful. Lindsay thinks in whole arias. But you and I are also stewards of songs. Let me illustrate it with my own life. I grew up at Tabernacle Baptist Church. It is still at 3715 Butternut Street in East Chicago. James H. Hunter has just now retired at the age of 90 plus after over 50 years in that church. He baptized me at 7. Every Sunday of my life, we sang the same song. And we sang it like a dirge. It's in your hymnal, 584. It's "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." I hated it. Screaming from my belly, I would say, "God, can we pick another song, please?" But under the watchful eye of my mother from the choir stand, every Sunday I sang it, hating it. But what I didn't know was how deeply the words to that hymn had fallen into my being. What I did not know, Dorothy, was how deeply those words had marked me, even through my disdain. I didn't know until a cold January night in 1988. I learned on that night their hold on me as I sat on the front steps of my mother and father's home, braced against the January cold with nothing but my fury. I learned the meaning of those words because they took hold of me and they took my breath. You see, right over my right shoulder was my bedroom window. And in that room that I had occupied from a freshman in high school until 1988 lay my dad in a bed dying from misdiagnosed prostate cancer. I was livid at God, and I let loose with everything I had. Against the cold that night, I told God what I thought about God and all of God's plans as they had to do with my father. I screamed and railed at all of heaven until I had no more breath, no more words, and no more energy. And I fell into quiet, not because of peace, but because I was empty. from the throne of my mother and father's front steps, I accused God of everything that had filled my heart. And then when I had nothing else to say, in that utter quietness, in that sheer emptiness, unbidden, unwelcome, uninvited, came the words to that song, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I stand yielded, waiting and still." But the words didn't stop. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine." And then the last verse, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway, filled with thy goodness, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me." My dad couldn't sing, but I knew he knew those words as surely as I did. I was screaming them. And I heard him repeating them with me. Christ. He didn't call my name. But I heard my Father, Christ. Zena, it's not misdiagnosed. Christ. I know my dad was 64, the age I will be in about 3 weeks. But he didn't rail. He didn't complain. Christ, only always. If I had heard that song for the 17 years of my life, my mom and dad had been members of that church way longer. My dad knew those words. And while out of anger, I was asking God to have his way, my dad was asking out of peace that this Christ that lived in him and his daughter would have his way. I'm a steward of that song. It's mine. I can't give it up if I try. I left out one verse, but I know the words to it too. It's mine to hold. It's a sacred trust. I'm supposed to hold the words to have thine own way. And I may never utter them to somebody out in the world, but I know them and I must live them. My sacred trust. I'm holding them for some moment when they are necessary, when the meaning behind those words can rise up in me and I can use them in a way that might bless, that might heal, that might hold, that might comfort somebody else. It's a sacred trust. And it's not only that I'm a steward of one song, or you're a steward of one song, you are a steward of a catalog. Because there's a song that also rises up in me when I am joyful. Beloved, about 4 weeks ago, they told me that my beloved Andre was ready to enter hospice. And it was not true, and he is back at the memory care facility where he now lives, Waverly, and he is doing well. But I remember when I looked at that hospice nurse and said no. When we got him into rehab and they weren't sure he could walk. And I said, oh no. And then we got him back to Waverly and I went to visit him about a week and a half ago. And we took a walk and he saw some of his new friends and he walked away from me and sat down with them. And I said, Andre, is our visit over? He went... I said, will you at least blow me a kiss? And some woman sitting next to him said, not with all these pretty women sitting around him. I left a memory care facility where I have moved my beloved, whom I cannot believe is not in my arms and in my home. And I got in my car and I said, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. all that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. When I've found pleasure in the simple things in life, you are the music in the meadow and the trees. Here's the line. You're the music, you're the voices of my children, my family and my home, the source and finish of my highest dream, Jesus. Richard Smallwood, you're the center of my joy. I drove home singing at the top of my lungs in my car. I'm a steward of that song. I know how to use those words for my own soul, and I know how to use them. Beloved, you are stewards just the same. What are the songs that are dropped into your spirit? What are the songs that you turn to? And they need not be hymns of the church. They need not be gospel songs. But they're songs that bring life and not death. They're songs that inspire hope and not despair. They're songs that offer promise and a future, not a damned day. They are a song that lifts up and not pushes down. A song that will rise when you don't even know you know the words. And we are created so that our brains forget music last. So God has made us stewards and created our brains so we will hold on to that when we can't hold on to our own first name. Beloved, what are the songs that God has entrusted in you? What's the catalog of songs that are yours? Because no less than time, talent, and treasure, these are the things God asks you to hold in sacred trust. These are the things that God asks you to know are precious. So that in order to have a future, in order to build God's kingdom, just like time, talent, and treasure, you might pull from this catalog that is in your soul and share it. But we cannot hold as sacred trust that which we don't know is ours. We cannot lift up and share. It would be like having a bank account in your name, but you never knew it and could not withdraw from it. These songs that are in you are like that, and we have to recognize them and recognize God has given them to us to be a blessing to share in the world. It's stewardship season. But we are stewards of so many things. This week, Dr. Sammy asked you to sing a song or even make up words to a song. And I want to second her words and tell you to think about the songs that are your sacred trust so that you have them at the ready, so that you have them to share. For just as God dropped those words in my being, God has dropped words in your being. What are they? That you might know them, that you might share them, that you might, like Paul and Silas, when you were locked in the innermost part, start singing. We don't know what they were singing. They could have been singing that Psalm 77, which was, I cry out, my hands are reaching out and they are untiring, and I can't close my eyes and I can't sleep. It's okay, because that song of lament is still crying out in hope to our God. Or it could be like the second psalm you heard from 104 that Elaine sang, the one that says, just praise God. But like Paul and Silas, in good times or in bad times, in the darkest part of the cell or the brightest part of the day, know your song and sing it. Let it be your song of life. Let it be a song, because like Paul and Silas, the other prisoners were listening. You sing and others hear. You lift up your sacred trust and somebody rises right with you. Come, beloved. Come to that place where you know your song, where you're really willing to share it. And even if it's on a night when you are sitting on a throne of steps on a cold January railing against God, know that even then God will give you a song. And even when it's hard work, God will prepare a table for you that you might dine and grow strong and be able to sing. So come to this table on this World Communion Sunday. Come, for the meal is prepared. You are the guest invited. And the strength you derive will let you sing your songs.